Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part two of a great three-part interview with R.L. Schauber as we discuss the trying circumstances of where his son Samuel had to go through 6 heart surgeries in his first 18 months of life. And the interview is heart-wrenching. The book, he put all the details into his book, For This Child I Have Prayed, 6 Heart Surgeries in 18 Months. And folks, I'm telling you, if you missed any of part one, you need to go back and catch up, because we do not have time to go into it and repeat the things that we talked about yesterday. But we're going to continue this discussion today as we hear the details on the heart-wrenching time that he's had. Let's jump back into this interview now with R.L. Schauber. How did you handle the fear at this point?
So, thankfully I'd learned in my weight loss journey about the voice of the devil and what it's like and the adversary. And so I understood a lot about fear and what it was, but still fear came. I mean, then there was there's two fears that came to me. One was just this bad feeling that wouldn't go away. And for that, I latched onto some verses and Psalm 112:2, I believe. I think it's 2. If it's not 2, it's 3. It talks about how the righteous are, the children of the righteous will grow mighty in the land. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd been meditating on God's word every single day and digging through Psalms and Proverbs. And that verse stuck out to me the most, that in Deuteronomy 28, where God's blessings. And I was like, you know, the cool thing is I'm made righteous by my faith in Christ. I'm not made righteous by my works or anything. So the cool thing is I get the same righteousness as Jesus, you know, amen, which is really exciting stuff.
Yep. Amen.
So all those promises are mine, even though at the time I didn't fully understand that. But all those promises are mine. So I just was like, you know what, the Holy Spirit's bringing this to mind. I'm going to lay claim to this one. And so every night I would just confess over him, you know, you will live long in the land and grow strong in the land, because there is no such thing as a mighty infant, a mighty baby, you know, maybe a mighty baby, but the term is not your children will be mighty children or mighty baby. They will grow mighty in the land. So Samuel had to grow up and be mighty as a man for that verse to be fulfilled.
Yeah. Amen.
So I was going to stand on that. And so every night, confessing that verse over him and confessing that verse that it would come true, fought that residual feeling of fear. But then there was also, I had a lot of visions at that point of just bad things happening. I had visions of, you know, Stephanie and I dressed in black with a small casket, sitting in front of a small casket. Later in one of the surgeries, I came out and I had this vision of him like cut open, like they'd actually not covered his chest. They normally cover your chest when you have heart surgery because they have to leave the chest cavity open because they still have to pull out all the fluids and such. They'd normally cover it with a towel, you know, gratefully, so you don't have to see your loved one's chest propped open with a tube. And I think it was his third surgery. They didn't. And it was already a brutal time period anyway, but I had a vision, because I was reading so much in the Old Testament looking for promises, that I was also reading about the warfare and how brutal Israel's enemies were, because they would, you know, steal and rape their women, slaughter their children, dash their children rocks, cut them open, absolutely ruthlessness. And I had a vision of, like, I walked in after that surgery and I had a vision of Samuel cut open, laying in dust. Like, I was transported back, and I just, you know, you could see the dust, you could see the rocks, you could see him laying cut open, covered in blood. Yeah. And I was like, no, I mean, it was so real. And I was like, no, my child will live long in the land and grow strong in the land. And I just hit that verse right in fear's face. And the vision went away like that, but it just left me so shaken. I had to walk over and just put my lips on his forehead just to feel the warmth of him and know that he was okay. But it was through my confession that I fought the fear, and it was through my confession that I fought the devil, to, because it's not enough to just know it. Like, we need that creative force of our words. God built us in his image, and he created the entire world with his words, and our words have power. Sorry, forgive me. That's tangent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you share in your book how these doctors were performing basically miraculous surgeries on a daily basis. I mean, I think that goes right along with what we said a few minutes ago, where there's a calling to be a doctor, just there's a calling to be in the ministry, right?
100%. 100%. And, you know, the crazy, like, I would love to Samuel's story to be like, he got healed, you know? I would love for Samuel's story to be like, we prayed over him, he didn't. But you know what? God's got a plan. And I'm grateful for the journey that we walked, even though it was brutal. Because God's still good and God's promises still come true. God promises he heals. He doesn't always say how.
That's right.
You know, I often think about that the parable of the guy that was caught in the flood. Have you ever heard that one, that story?
The one that's caught in the flood.
There was a guy who was caught in the flood, and he's like, God, get me out of this flood. Save me. Protect me.
Yeah.
And some guy comes by, and like the floodwaters start to rise, and some guy comes in a pickup truck and says, hop in the truck. Like, we'll get you out of here. And he's like, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And then like the floodwaters continue to rise. And he's up on the second story of his house, and somebody comes by in a boat and says, come on, let's get out of there. He's like, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. The guy shakes his head and drives off. And finally, he's up on the very pitch of his roof, and this helicopter comes over and says, hey, you know, we're going to get you out of here. And he's like, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And then he drowns, and he goes to heaven. He's like, God, why didn't you save me? He's, what are you talking about? God says, I sent three different people to save you, and you didn't take advantage of them. Yep. You know what I mean?
That's
and
right.
I think when God has opportunities for us, and he guides us in each step, and he provides for us in each step to have that. In the United States, we're blessed with a great medical system, you know, and my faith's not in the medical system, my faith's in God, just like with my job, my faith's not in my job to provide for me, my faith's in my God to provide for me, but God does provide my job to provide for me. God does provide business opportunities to provide for me. And in the same way, God provides doctors and healthcare workers. And you know what? I align when somebody's going through something with the doctors too, and say, I'm going to pray for them that they have insight. I'm going to pray for them that they have wisdom. Yeah. Now, if they're speaking negative things over me, you're going to die, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, I don't agree with them in that. Like, I'm going to agree with God's word that says we're going to be healed, we're going to be okay. But they're a part of the puzzle too, that God's using.
Amen. Amen. And every time Samuel was undergoing a surgery, you journal scripture quotes, you know, scriptures that meant something to you. I know your friend Jake had sent you several scriptures and names of books for you, but how did these books help you to prepare mentally and spiritually for these huge ordeals?
You know, the Bible says faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that was part of it, you know, trusting that God was going to be there and God was going to show up. But the most beautiful thing about, you know, I've got my butt kicked a lot in life with Samuel stuff, with the dating scene, afterwards with job stuff. And every single time I've had two options. I can say, God, why are you doing this? And get angry at God and get bitter at God and say, you're not giving me what I want. You're not helping me out. Or I can say, God, you're on my side. And you're fighting alongside of me, and you want me to get to these things, but I've got to go through this for whatever reason, but you're going to give me what I need to fight with it. And in this season, I had understood that God was with me, and he was fighting alongside of me. And that daily spending time in the Word, that daily hearing other people what God was doing, that daily just drawing close to God, that intimacy with God.
Amen.
There is nothing like that The Bible says, taste and see that God is good. And I can tell you that when you are at your lowest, like God says that he is near to the brokenhearted. And if you're bringing your broken heart to him,
amen.
Oh my goodness. You talk about intimacy. You talk about goodness. You talk about hearing the master of the universe say, hey, I've got this. I'm guiding you. That was the power of this daily digging into God's word. And sometimes it was just, I remember before one of my surgeries, just sitting down and writing out one of the Psalms that meant something to me and just writing out each individual verse because it just, I could fill the Holy Spirit with each line.
Amen. And after the second surgery, you were inspired to pray specifically for each step of the recovery process. In your book, you say the results happen swiftly. How do these victories minister to you as to your spiritual authority in the eyes of God?
Yeah. Well, and first of all, and part of the reason I started to choose, for your listeners, one of them to know, like part of the reason I chose to pray specifically was because I had been praying that he would get well after his second surgery. And he wasn't. He kind of got stuck in a long, protracted recovery to a point where it was like 1 to 2 weeks where he was still in the ICU to where actually the point they kicked him out of the cardiac ICU and sent him to the pediatric ICU, which is its own story. And it's in the book. But the thing was, I was like, God, why are you not healing my son? Why is he not getting better? And the Holy Spirit was like, Arl, you need to pray specifically for each thing. I just heard Jake actually teach about at a business conference about like having goals, how they need to be specific. They need to be measurable, the SMART goals, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, cool. And I'll start praying for the specific things. And it was first one was like, he needs to get water off his lungs, you know, the fluid off of his lungs from the surgery. Okay, God, we started praying for that. As soon as like within 24 hours, he was, hey, okay, now he's off the ventilator, off all this stuff because, you know, we'd prayed for that. Okay. Next step of the process of healing, we started praying for that. And it was so cool. Cause like once we started lining up with every single individual thing, bam, God knock it out. But it was only when we started praying those specific things that there's happened, you know?
Amen. There's results and specificity. I mean, it's this, you know, if you're in the military, you're fighting a battle. Yeah. The town is the objective, but you got to go through the processes of getting there. Man.
Yeah.
After the third surgery, you were wondering if it was possible for you just lay claim to the promises in the Bible. What was sparking those thoughts, and how did you settle that question in your spirit?
You know, that was actually a big part of the reason of why I wanted to write this book. Because for me, you know, there was a guy that had I got into an argument with on social media, of course, you know. It's a great place.
I'll just take a sip of coffee on that.
I know. But anyway, he'd gotten an argument with me and was trying to tell me that God's promises were not for Christians, that our lot in life was to suffer and to not have good. And I don't agree with those statements. I didn't agree with them then. I just didn't have a good, solid biblical backing then. I knew on principle that God was good and that he's not going to tease me with something and put something out there and say, well, look what these kids get, but you don't get it. You know, these are my children, but these are my adopted children. God's not like, if a dad would do that, we would call that abusive and terrible. Yep. So God's not that. So if God's going to sit here and say, hey, this is for my Jewish children, but this isn't for my adopted children, we would say, God, you're cruel, and it's a justifiable label. So I knew something was very bad in what he was saying. But it was funny because I was reading a lot of people skills books, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, you need to go back and read this book Jake had recommended called Building Your Self-Image. And by Josh McDowell. So picked up the book, read it, and it hit on some things that I needed that I had not quite really got in my spirit yet, that God loves me. And then God led me through Nancy Alcorn's book, Ditch the Baggage, Change Your Life. And I had to deal with a couple of things of forgiveness and letting go of stuff in the past, which also played in my self-image. And then God rounded it out with Joyce Meyer's Power Thoughts, which is probably the most potent book I've ever found at helping a person who has a bad self-image build their self-image. And with those three, I started to understand how much God loved me and who I was in his eyes. And then it was that prepared me for something my pastor said at Alice Park Church. Jeff Leek, he was talking about, I think it's 1 Corinthians. You know what? It's in Corinthians. So we're just going to say there because I can't remember the exact citation. Uh-huh. But if you Google, you can find it because I use Google to find all kinds of Bible stuff or whatever search engine you prefer. But he's in Corinthians, Paul talks about the that all promises that God has ever made are yes and amen in Christ Jesus because of his sacrifice. So it's one of those things that, and yeah, I'm adding a couple words there because it's the concept. The concept is that all of God's promises, if he's made a promise, it is out there and he's agreeing with it for us.
Amen.
So it's ours. And that was so redeeming for me. And that actually set the stage because like that summer, I hope you don't mind if I just continue, that summer, actually we started to think that maybe everything was good. We got out of the third surgery. The third surgery was brutal. The hospital had screwed up some stuff. Samuel had to go in for another replacement valve after his second surgery was his first replacement valve. The third surgery, right after that, a month later, they replaced the same valve because this hospital screwed up his blood thinners. He had strokes. He had to have another surgery. He was still in the ICU a month later because of their, because of his slow healing. And so we had another surgery. I had that vision of him, being laying cut open. And then, we got out of the hospital. We finally got healed up. We finally got out of the hospital. And that summer was calm. We didn't even run back and forth because we were constantly rushing back and forth for SVT. That summer, we weren't doing any of that. Like we went maybe three times that summer. And I spent the whole summer like digging into these books on self-image and God's word. And then at the end of the summer, I was thinking, okay, maybe we're done with this. Maybe this is all good. This valve's going to take. The SVT is gone. But God had a next step for me. And in November, a little bit before Thanksgiving, so early November, mid-November, it was right in the middle of a busy season at work. It was year-end reserve season. And it's kind of like tax season for accountants. It's brutal. And we were, first of all, I'm super stressed from work. And then Stephanie takes Samuel down for SVT. And oh, by the way, he's got a leaflet clotted open in his valve. And we're going to have to replace the valve again. And I remember being devastated because, we've gone through this season. I'm starting to think, starting to hope that everything's okay. And I remember like between the stress of work, the stress of trying to be a husband and a dad and all that entails, and the stress of thinking we're going to have to go in for another open heart surgery, just being so built up. And in Pittsburgh, you drive through the 4 pit tunnels to go to Children's. Like I was out in Robinson, which is out near the airport. It's the west side of the city. Mm-hmm. You drive through. It's not a very well laid out city, especially if you're coming right down through town. It's a lot of hills, a couple tunnels. Everybody slows down the tunnels, and doing it at rush hour is terrible because then you come out of the tunnels and there's this 4-lane bridge. And if you want to go north or west, which is where Children's was, you have to cross 2 lanes through other people that are merging in and cross, and you have the span of a bridge. It's not even that big of a bridge to get across. And then you have to weave around, and there's just, it's insanity. I don't know what engineer made it, but they're either getting a great spot in hell, or a great spot in heaven for having people pray to get through, but around the time that I got on the bridge, the first bridge, and I'm trying to merge, the grief hit me like a ton of bricks, and I broke down and I started bawling. It wasn't a voluntary thing. It was just all the emotions hit me and I couldn't stop them. And there's no place to pull over. And, you're not going to stop in the middle of traffic or you might get run over or shot, I try to take it lighthearted because it was big, but I was bawling and sobbing so hard as I'm trying to drive through traffic and trying to get through the hospital that like, I'm starting to worry, can I make it to the hospital? And I'm so raw emotionally, just that empty, bitter, raw, not bitter, but empty, raw feeling you feel when everything just feels like it's like sandpaper on your soul, and it's cold sandpaper. And I remember not wanting to, and this is where I learned the power of worship. I did not want to praise God in that moment. I wanted to just weep in silence. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that I'd heard from some Amway business partners say that, you know, they were talking about like trust one more time, like trusting other people. But I was just like, no, you know what? I'm going to worship God in this. I'm going to worship God in my desperation and just tell the world and Satan himself that God is good. And I put on Hillsong, and I it was the Zion CD, because that was, I just fell in love with that CD. And Love Is War came on, and then Nothing Like Your Love came on. And I was driving along 28, which is this brutal, brutal, nasty road. Like I said, the engineers either have a special place in hell or heaven. I'm not sure which one. Depends on whether they accepted Jesus as their savior. But I remember through my tears worshiping God, and the section of the song where it says, "Your love's amazing. It fills my heart and I cry out. There is none like you. There is nothing like your love." And then it rolls into "your love." And it doesn't even say "your love" again. It says, "There's nothing like your love's amazing." And it just rolls through a couple times. And I remember just singing that. And as I sung it, like I started to draw strength. And I started to say, you know what? I'm going to sing this in the devil's face. I'm going to say, you know what? My God's amazing. I don't care what's happening there. My son's going to be okay. My God's with me, and he's bigger than anyone and anything else, and even this situation. And Samuel's going to be okay, and my God's good. Mm-hmm. And I remember praying that, and I remember coming across the river over another bridge into down to where Children's at, and singing it like as I'm stopping and going. And by the time I got to the hospital, like the heaviness of the grief was gone. Amen. Amen. I was still raw. I was still upset about the fact that he was going to have to have another surgery. And it was actually really cool. The really cool part of it was when I was like, okay, back in the battle, time to fight again. And I was driving to work, and at the time I was, you know, I had a 45 minute drive to work. And so I would do my Bible reading, hop in the car, and then while I was driving, I would do my confessions, confess what God was going to do in my life, what I was standing in faith for. And I started picking up a verse that God had given me when Samuel was going through things the first time. You know, God fights my battles for me, which is, I think, 2 Corinthians 20. It's talking about, and there was a kingdom in Israel that three different countries had joined together to wage war against them. Surprise, they were their allies, and now they're going to come. And they fasted, and the king called a fast, and God, why are you doing this? And God said, listen, I'm going to deliver you from all of them, and you're not even going to have to lift a finger. I'm going to fight your battles for you. So it's really wild, because like literally the cool thing about that is like they went out, they put their worshipers in front when they went out to battle, and they got there and they were all dead. They'd killed each other because God had confused them. And it took them 3 days to get all the treasure that God had brought them back into Israel, which is really cool. God's providing. But I was starting to lay claim to that promise again. And God's like, no. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to fight this battle. And this was the hardest point of the story to talk about, or to put into words, because like, how do you talk about fighting a battle? But two things came to mind. One, there was a U2 song that POD redid called Bullet the Blue Sky. And there was a quote in there talking about Jacob. You know, Jacob wrestled with the angel and the angel was overcome. And the other thing that hit me was there was a verse about Jesus. And Jesus said, and they said, he set his face like flint, you know? And it was talking about how Jesus was working to this, what the Holy Spirit was revealing to him is this brutal murder he was going to go through at the hands of the religious the very people who should have been praising him, and how brutal it was going to be and what he was going to have to go through. But Jesus knew what he was going towards, so he set his face like flint. And those two things are what the Holy Spirit brought up in me that I'm going to fight to completion of God's promise. And I'm going to stand on God's promise. I'm going to proclaim God's promise. I'm going to praise God in His promises. And we're going to see the fulfillment of this promise. Doesn't matter what's coming.
Amen.
And so the next couple of surgeries, like literally he has surgery in like mid-November. He ended up, in December, having SVT three separate times. We had to rush him to the hospital. In fact, on Christmas Eve, he went into SVT and are just like, we've already been there three or four times. We called the nurses and we're like, should we bring him in? They're like, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Up his medication. Here's the dose you should give. I mean, it's the same thing we're going to do here. And just bring him, you know, after you guys finish your Christmas celebrations. And so we brought him in. And, he stayed that time because they're like, we're going to try to do an ablation. He's old enough. We can do this, which is basically where they have two ways to do it, but basically they get in where the heart is and they take the nerves that are causing this short circuit and they burn them or freeze them. So that way the nerves die on just this one spot. And, so they were prepping for it. And the reason that we were rushing back and forth with SVT is because with a valve and him being an SVT, like typically SVT is like, it's something that should be monitored. It's not that big of a deal, but with him having a valve, the reason he kept clotting out valves was because of the SVT. It's not good. It doesn't pump the blood well. And so there was clots forming on the valve. And so anyway, so we were in the hospital then, and they were going to try, they were trying to schedule, you know, ablation. And then he ended up, they said, you know, we're going to go ahead and do it. So they went ahead and did it. Did they do the ablation first? Or did they have to do it? Because then he ended up clotting out another valve. So November and December, he clotted out another valve. They did two ablations that month. Actually, I think the first ablation was they did a cath ablation, which is where they go through the leg, which is supposed to be less invasive. But he still had to be in the heart lung bypass machine. So that way, you know, they could stop his heart to be able to pause things. And that was like a 10, 12 hour surgery or operation. And it wasn't even cut open, you know? Yeah. And then they had to go in and do another valve. And this time they went through the side and they did an ablation then. And we thought we got things. And, you know, January, we're thinking we're okay. And we are, you know, comes February, comes right around my birthday. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, God, thank you. Like it was like a day before, or 2 days before my birthday, I'm sitting there journaling and I'm like, God, okay. Like we're through this. Thank God. I can start to relax. I can start to prepare for moving my life forward again.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this interview with R.L. Shaver. Oh boy. I'm telling you this interview, it is awesome, but it is heart-wrenching at the same time to think poor little Samuel, just a little baby going through all these things, and his wife Stephanie and R.L. Shaver himself, the turmoil, the hardship, the heart-wrenching prayers and constant living at the hospital all during this 18 months until the final surgery. And now it's a lot better, but we're going to be talking more about that tomorrow, praise God, as you're going to hear the rest of the story. And that in the end, Samuel's doing great. Amen. I encourage you to go down the show notes, get his book, For This Child I Have Praise, Six Heart Surgeries in 18 Months. Order your copy today and come back for the conclusion of tomorrow's episode of this interview with R.L. Shaver. Till then, as Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.